All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles this evening, and I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. While you're turning, I'll remind you that we've been talking about the subject of separation. This week, it's lesson number 37, and this week is part 2 of what we started last week. Last week, we talked about separation from slothfulness, and I'm going to remind you of some of the things I said last week and then give you a handful of new things this week. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, find verse number 11, and then stand with me, if you would, real quick, and we'll do that out of reverence for the Word of God. And now I'm going to read from verse 11 all the way through verse number 14. The Bible says this, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we talk about this subject. Help us, Lord, as we learn to separate from those things that are not good for us and those things that are not holy and those things that are not right. Now, Father, please, again tonight, teach us something that makes us better. We need to be better Christians. We need to have better testimonies. Help us to make a greater impact on this lost world by our behavior. Bless us again with Thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. If you're listening as we were reading the Bible here, it's talking about people that are not working. And we're going to talk about the word slothfulness. The word slothful, that means lazy or idle or someone that's lethargic, indifferent, or careless about labor. Now, here in verse number 11, if you notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." Now, God is beginning, he's getting ready to say some things in the next four verses, and he starts out, he said, you're being disorderly. You're not in the rhythm of what is necessary for society to succeed. And then he says, working not at all. Now, here's somebody. And I don't think for a moment the scripture would ever tell someone to work that could not. So this is to somebody that could, but they're just working not at all. It goes on and he says these people are busy bodies. What does that mean? Oh, they're busy about things, but not busy about working. They're busy about talking, maybe criticizing, making excuses. They make themselves look busy. They make themselves look active, but it's not productive activity. It's not useful activity. So they're called busy bodies. And in verse number 12, God directs them, and God's pretty blunt here. Listen to what he says about this laziness and this busybody stuff. In verse 12, it says, "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work." In other words, he said, just keep your mouth shut and go to work. And then says, "and eat their own bread." And what he is teaching there is they ought to be earning their keep. They eat the bread that they have earned with their labor. In other words, there's not somebody else paying their bills, but they're paying their own bills. There's not somebody else providing their food. They're providing their own food. And then it goes on in verse number 14, and it says, "If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him." So the Lord said to these people that were lazy and they didn't want to work, they make themselves look active, they make themselves look busy, but it's just a farce, it's just a front. He said they need to be quiet and they just need to go to work. And they need to earn their way. They need to earn their keep. And then he said, if you don't obey what we're teaching you, then it says have no company with them. Now, there's the teaching of separation. And it said that because of that, there are people that will be ashamed, or at least that you would hope that they would be ashamed. Now, Another passage of Scripture that we turn to, and you won't need to turn to it tonight, we went to the book of Ecclesiastes, and there's many verses attached to this one verse, but I'm going to read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. It says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." Now there's that word slothfulness, and I told you that's the word lazy or idle. That someone would be called a loafer. They're neglecting their duties. They're lethargic, lackadaisical. They're unconcerned or unindustrious, if you will. And what's happening here is someone's buildings are decaying, like tooth decay. Why? Why are their buildings decaying? Because they're lazy. They're not taking care of them. They're not keeping them up. And by the way, we are to work where we should labor physically. And then I think we should labor spiritually. And then I think we should labor emotionally. Do you know that some people, they won't labor emotionally. They don't work at their emotions. They don't work at making their emotions strong and healthy. They just let them go. If you let your emotions go, what will happen? They will decay. You will fall apart if you don't labor at your emotions. I don't let my emotions do whatever they want. My emotions are not to control me. I am to control my emotions. That's doable by way of the Scripture and by way of the Holy Spirit. And I think everybody here believes that. You may not believe that about you, but most of you that are adults believe that about your kids. I know more than one time when I was emotional, my mother said, "I'd knock that off right now." And I was able to get my emotions under control. It was well advised by my mother. And so you need to work at your emotions and you need to work at your spiritual life. Can I tell you? You know why some people don't pray? To pray more than just a couple minutes is work. I will guarantee it. I would say the average person that I preach to couldn't get on their knees and stay for 1 hour. I challenge you. Try it. Prove it. Prove that you can pray for 1 hour. There is a labor to doing that. You say, what kind of labor? You have to force yourself to submit to that spiritual task. So I think there's a laziness, and we can be lazy physically and lazy emotionally and lazy spiritually. But boy, again, I think God is pretty pointed about it. He actually says there, listen to what he said. He said, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him." He's virtually saying, be careful getting around this lazy, unproductive person. And at the end of the lesson tonight, I'll tell you one of the reasons why. But one of the reasons why is if you get around lazy, unproductive people, you'll become like them. You'll become like them. And God doesn't want that. Hard work. There's a weariness. There's a strain to it. You sweat, and there's a price to pay. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, let me remind you of the points that I made last week. I'll do this very quickly, and then we'll get into some new material tonight. And again, this is all about separation. God says that we should separate from the slothful. Now, two ways. I need to be careful that I don't spend a bunch of time around a bunch of lazy people. But number two, I need to separate from my own laziness. I need to get it away from me. I need to separate from my personal slothfulness. Okay, now, this is what we said last week. We said, number one, slothful people make tomorrow their favorite day. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:28, "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thyself." Now, the term that I would use here is procrastination. Slothful people always plan to do the things that need to be done, but not now. Another time. It's always, always procrastination. Okay? I said number two last week, we said slothful people have many unfinished projects. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was one that finished what he started. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, be careful. Slothful people tend to start things, but they don't finish things. And I talked about finishing the job, finish school, finish the housework, finish the task, finish the little task, finish the big tasks. But be careful leaving a bunch of unfinished projects. Folks, it's always easier to start than it is to finish. I'll never forget, and I won't mention who, but it really doesn't matter. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had a Bible teacher that was standing up and teaching, and he was talking about not finishing what you start. And he took about 15 minutes one day in class and was talking about his child was coloring a picture, and he noticed in the coloring book the child would color and only color about half the picture and then move to the next one. And then color about half the picture and move to the next one. And the Bible college teacher said, I stopped my child. And I said, you finish the picture before you go to the next one. And I'm sure that somebody thought, well, that's silly. What's the big deal? There are a whole bunch of you. It would have been good if your parents would have had you finish the picture. Because you're not a finisher now. And it's always easy to start. I couldn't tell you, you know what I was told? I was told when I was in Bible college, I was told if you can last 5 years in the ministry, it'll be a miracle because so many just drop out and don't serve God anymore. Because it's easy to start, not easy to finish. And so slothful people tend to start something, but they don't finish it. Slothful people are always delaying and they're procrastinators. Then slothful people are tired all the time. Now, I know that hardworking people are tired as well. But let me read the verse to you. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I think the Bible is teaching when you're lazy, laziness adds to your laziness. You know, you can sleep so much that when you wake up, your sleep almost has a reverse effect. Now, there's some of you that say, well, I'd like to try that sometime, because I know there are a lot of hardworking people in here. But I can promise you, you know, I've been around people that they never work and they never put forth any energy. But if you were trying to get them to do something, they would be too tired to do it. And so slothfulness adds to your slothfulness. Just a case in point, when it's exercise time, there's so many times people don't want to exercise, but usually once they start exercising, they feel better. They have more energy at the end than what they had at the beginning. And so slothful people tend to be tired all the time. Number four. It usually doesn't bother a slothful or a lazy person if somebody else carries their load or carries them. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own burden. I think there's some personal responsibility. And so it doesn't bother sloth people. They don't mind if they'll let people work in their presence, and they'll let somebody else take care of them and let somebody else meet their needs and let somebody else do what they could do. Now, again, I'll say it. I think that if you say, well, Pastor, there's no way with my health or with my situation, there's no way I could work 40 hours a week. Well, how many hours could you work? So I couldn't work 30 hours. Well, how many hours could you work? Well, I couldn't work 20 hours. Well, how many hours could you work? Just tell us how many. And then you ought to work them. God never intended for us to just lay around. He really didn't. He intended, He gave us a body. And to whatever degree that body is healthy, that body ought to be active. So, the slothful, they don't mind if somebody carries them. Number five, I said the slothful's possessions are not cared for or they're not kept up. Let me read this to you. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 30, it says this, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nestles and had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. And here the Bible is saying that somebody had a vineyard and they had some walls, but everything was falling apart. Slothful people do not take care of what they have. Now, you may not have nice things, but you need to care for what you have. And your character is not based on the quality of your possessions. Your character is based on how you take care of the possessions that you have. And as Christians, we're to take care of ourselves and we're to take care of our things. I'll never forget this. I was preaching at a church, oh boy, probably 25, 30 years ago. I went to a church to preach in Illinois. And when I went there, I'd arrived a couple of hours early, and I'm always interested. I like churches, so I was walking around the church, I was walking around the outside, and I was walking through the inside. And I have to tell you, I was embarrassed for the people that went to church there. I was embarrassed because virtually everything you looked at was falling apart. Grass was not mowed. There was trash everywhere. Everywhere you went, things were broken and nasty. And I looked at that. Well, we had church. I preached that night. And the pastor, he said, Brother Owens, let's go out and have a meal after church. And we went. And he asked me this question. He said, I'm having a hard time getting people into my church. I'm having a hard time. Once if we do get somebody in, they seem to not come back. He said, what things can you tell me? And I was thinking, I want to tell you. Boy, do I want to tell you. Oh, but I mentioned the things that he wanted to hear. And I said, well, it's soul winning and it's prayer. And those things are very, very important. And then I finally said, you probably need to clean up your property a little bit. He said, I just don't have time. I'm so busy attending to the people. I'm thinking, there's no people. You just told me you can't get anybody to come and stay. How could you be so busy taking care of nobody that you didn't have time to clean up a little bit? Now, I didn't say to the man, you need to tear all this down and start over. It would be just to clean up what was there. But it was all falling apart. Now, folks, you ought to take care of what God give you. You say, your car might not cost $40,000. Might have cost $4,000. But your $4 car ought to be cared for to the best of your ability. Slothful people do not care for their possessions well. Okay, now, we're going to start and we're going to get into the new material. And this is where really part number 2, and this is lesson number 37, part 2 of separation from our own personal slothfulness and being careful by associating too much with slothful people. And this is point number 6. The slothful work hard at making up excuses for their laziness. The slothful work hard at making up excuses for their laziness. Listen to this verse. Actually, I'll read 3 verses to you. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 through 16 says this. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. And here the Bible is telling you the slothful man, he's making up excuses. The slothful man has many excuses as to why he's not productive. So the slothful person, they're making excuses as to why they don't work. This guy, someone told him, you need to go to work. And he said, there are lions out there. Wonder if a lion gets me. Do you know that if there were lions out there, there were other people in town evidently that were probably working. But he said, oh, no, I could get hurt. Well, you know what? We could all get hurt at work. But he's making excuses. He's figuring out a way to justify not working. Now, listen, it's one thing to make up excuses to justify your laziness to others. But let me tell you something. When you start believing your own excuses, boy, are you in trouble. The slothful, they work very hard at one thing, at making excuses as to why they don't work. They will put energy and effort into making it sound like this. I can't. And remember, as a pastor, I love my people. I don't think anybody in here that if it would hurt you to work 40 hours a week that you should. But I think you ought to work whatever you could. And if you don't, then you're being lazy to that degree. What the slothful should do, you know, they want to tell you why they can't work, but what they ought to do is work at reasons why they can work. Have you ever heard the old saying, excuses are a dime a dozen? And they are. So slothful people work at making up excuses for their laziness. And I will tell you, some of you have been leaders, you've been managers, you've been supervisors. Boy, I can remember when I was working with my grandpa, and we were in construction, and he had hired some guys to work for him. And in 1 week, a guy called in and said, "Well, I can't come to work. It's raining." Okay, now, so you all know, nobody's ever melted because of the rain. By the end of the week, it had gotten up to about 100 degrees, and the same guy called in and said he couldn't work because it was too hot. You see, there was no pleasing him. It was either raining and he couldn't work, or the sun was out and he couldn't work. Well, what were you waiting for? It's just a part of it. But always looking for excuses. So be careful being an excuse maker for your laziness. Number 7, the slothful people often see hard workers as abnormal people. The slothful often see hard workers as abnormal people. Let me give you a verse that you could use in your life if you want to be scripturally motivated to be a hard worker. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Now the word might there, it's talking about giving your all, throwing yourself into it, giving your energy to it. Now, if you get around a lazy person, if you get around, as the Bible would call them, a slothful person, they may call a hard worker a workaholic. Do you know a workaholic today is somebody that goes to work in this day and age and works 40 hours a week and they just work hard? In this day and age, that's a workaholic. The average boss will tell you, if you pay a guy for 8 hours work, you'll be lucky if you get 5 out of him. See, in the slothful's opinion, somebody's overdoing it, while the slothful are busy underdoing it. Hard workers are criticized by the slothful as overachievers, and then the slothful are wonderful underachievers. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Notice that it said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do." This is actually someone that's looking for something to do. I had a guy one day. He told me. He said, "There's no work." I said, "Well, how many resumes did you put in?" He said, "2." And this is what I told him. If you want a job, put in 200. "Well, I don't have time." I'm thinking, you don't have time. You don't have a job. You don't have work. See, the slothful, they're trying to get out of work. They're not trying to get into work. They're trying to figure out a way not to do it. Not trying to figure out a way to do it. And I really, really do believe, from all indications right now in our country, there's work. Yes, sir. There's work. We have employers contact us, say, "I'm looking to hire, looking to hire, looking to hire." There's work out there. But the slothful, they'll look at somebody that's a hard worker and they'll mock them. They call them workaholics. They say they're overdoing it. Watch out, folks. If you go someplace and go to work, the slothful could become a hard worker's enemy. I had more than one person through the years come to me when I was working in the factory and say, Owens, you need to slow down a bit. You're making it hard on us all. They will expect us to work at that level if you keep that up. Now, you know what the problem is? They're lazy. And they don't want someone to work hard around them because they might have to work hard. And they think there's something wrong with the hard work. They think that there's something wrong with you. And so you all know, it's the exact opposite. There's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with them. So we said, number one, the slothful, they work hard at one thing primarily. Excuses as to why they don't work hard. Secondly, they see hard workers as abnormal. Thirdly, the slothful set goals, but they don't reach them. The slothful set goals, but they don't reach them. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Somebody's pressing toward the mark. What is that? There's a goal. They're moving toward something. They're trying to accomplish something. There's something out there that they're going after. The mark is the goal. Now, goals to the slothful are unreachable dreams. Goals to the slothful are fantasies. The slothful, they talk about big things, but they do very little. The slothful, they make colossal plans, but they have cowardly character. And if you used to be a hard worker, and you're not anymore, you live in the past. The only stories that you tell are when you used to work hard, and when you used to try to achieve, and when you used to try to accomplish. You produce big talk, but you have little walk. You live in the past, and all your accomplishments are historical. Slothful people set goals, but they don't reach them. And I would recommend this. There may be people in this room that at one part in your life, you set some goals in life, and you reach them because you're a hard worker. Could I tell you something? If you've reached your goals in life, you need to set some more, or you'll become lazy. You may need to set some new goals because you've reached your old goals. Something caused you to have drive and tenacity and character, maybe in your earlier years. Maybe you need to set some new goals so that that same drive, that same tenacity, that same character is called upon. Because to tell you the truth, accomplishing your goal is not really what makes you happy. It is the process of getting there that really makes you happy. It's not that I arrived. It was the journey between where you started and the place to which you have arrived. Hey, you know, I've watched a lot of people reach their goals and a day later, it's a little depressing. Because you don't have anything you're shooting for. You have nothing for which you are striving. And that it is the striving that is fulfilling for someone. But slothful, they'll set goals, but they don't reach them. Or, the next point, many times a slothful, they don't have any goals. They have no goals at all. They don't set goals. Now, goals have a little something to do, I think, spiritually with faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Listen, if you never strive for excellence because you have nothing for which you're striving, to everybody in here, if you're a teenager, I think even some of you children, but you teenagers and adults, what goals do you have for yourself in life right now? What goals do you have? You ought to get some goals. You ought to have something that you're wanting to accomplish. I think it's wise to have daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, yearly goals, some short-term goals, some long-term goals. But you ought to have something for which you're striving. If you have nothing that you want to conquer or nothing that you want to achieve, that's probably exactly what you will achieve. Nothing. See, if you're shooting at nothing, you're probably sure to hit it. You know, something, I'd rather shoot at something high and not hit it, then shoot at nothing at all, and for sure hit your target. But many times, slothful people, they won't even set any goals. So maybe ask yourself, What are some of your goals in life? What do you want to accomplish? You might think that goals are just for teenagers or goals are just for, you know, young adults. I don't think that at all. I am 58 years of age and I have my sights set on some things. And I want to strive for them and I want to accomplish them and I want to achieve them. And you ought to have some goals as well. Let me give you another one. There are, and now I'm going to get maybe a little more practical. We're commanded to separate from slothfulness. If you heard what it said there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 14, it says, if any man obey not our words, said note that man and have no company with him. So God says you need to separate from slothful people. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say to be mean to them. It doesn't say that you're to be unkind to them. Not at all. It's just saying you don't want to develop the slothful's attitude and you don't want to be around that slothfulness because slothfulness is somewhat contagious. Slothfulness, you get around somebody that's slothful, you're liable to end up being slothful or lazy. So I've got to be careful that I don't spend my time around slothful people. But not only that, I need to make sure that I'm not slothful. If there's slothfulness in my life, I need to separate from it. And if you'll remember correctly, way back at the beginning of this series, over 30-some lessons ago, I told you separation is from something to something. And then you say, well, if I'm going to separate from slothfulness, what's the deal? You move away from laziness to hard work. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm gonna break this down, and you don't have to worry, it won't take long, but I've got 7 or 8 things that I want to say to you about this very thing. We are to separate from slothfulness. For instance, I think you should separate from slothfulness at work. Separate from slothfulness at work. When you go to work, work hard. Don't cheat your boss. Work hard. Now, I'll tell you this also. At work, I would do your best to stay away from the slothful, lazy people. They will infect you. And if you're not careful, you become like them. You know, there are some lazy people at work that you just don't need to be around because they will hurt your reputation. And I'm not sure it's fair that the boss looks, but I'm going to promise you, the boss looks at who you spend time with. And if you're with the lazy bunch, then you're getting a reputation for yourself. And I'll tell you this also. The slothful, they're the ones that will talk bad about you at work and behind your back. And especially if you're truly a hard worker. But there's nothing you can do about that. Just keep on doing the right thing. So separate from the slothful. Separate from the lazy people at work. Don't let somebody else set your pace at work. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You're to work hard. I say this. A union is not to determine how hard you work. Your character and integrity should determine how hard you work. So, separate from the slothful at work. Next, separate from the slothful at school. Separate from the slothful at school. These are the people that won't study. They won't do their homework. They'll end up being very weak. And some weak enough that they'll be criminal. They don't like authority because authority calls them out on their laziness. They're the ones that won't graduate. And if they do, and listen to this very carefully, they are uneducated graduates. And today, in the public school system, you can be an uneducated graduate. Right. I can show you people that have high school diplomas that they can't spell. You couldn't read a word that they write, and it is not because they're in a hurry with their penmanship. It's that they can't write. The uneducated people, and then they want to party their life away. And then you know what happens. They go out in life and the hardworking people that studied and passed their classes and became educated graduates, they went and got a job and now they have to support the ones that didn't want to pay the price. And so we ought to separate from slothfulness in our schooling. And we should separate from those that have a slothful attitude. Next, I would separate from slothful friends. And I'm not talking about being unkind, and I'm not talking about being mean to them. I'm just saying to you, hey, if you young men, if you're going to get you a girlfriend, could I recommend to you that you not get a lazy one? You will regret it if you do. You will regret it. If you're going to get you young ladies, if you're going to pick a boyfriend, let me tell you something. You might want to pick somebody that works hard. If all they do is play, and if they won't work at passing their classes, and they don't want to go to work, and they criticize work, you will be sorry someday. He won't support you when you get married. She won't clean the house. You'll have a mess on your hands, and you will be sorry. Now, I'm not saying to be unkind to the slothful, but if I were you, I would not pick a lazy person. So if you don't want to marry a slothful person, I wouldn't date a slothful person. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be if you say, well, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, they're just always so busy working, they hardly have time for me. Well, you might have found a good one. But if you say, well, I have access to my boyfriend, girlfriend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can come over any time. We can be together any time. How's that possible? Don't they have any responsibility? But if you don't want to marry wrong, then don't date wrong. Now, if you lay down with pigs, you'll eventually smell like one. And you'll get a curl in your tail. So be careful. I got to looking at something. Facebook friends, how do people on Facebook have the amount of time to spend on Facebook that they do? I wish we could check to see if their checkbooks are balanced and if their Bibles are read and if their laundry's up to date and if their bills are paid. I'd like to see if they're passing their classes. Mark Zuckerberg said the average Facebook user spends 41 minutes per day on Facebook. You say that doesn't sound outrageous. Over a 10-year period, that's 149,650 hours. That's 623 straight days without stop. Say, how will we survive without it? How did all the generations make it to today? If your Facebook friends, we had a relative recently bragging about spending 8 hours a day on Facebook. How would anybody have time for that? How could they possibly have time for that? So, separate from slothful friends. And in other words, that doesn't mean you couldn't be kind towards somebody on Facebook, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're riding right alongside, wasting all those minutes and hours with them, that you're becoming like them. You're wasting your time. Let me go on. I said we ought to separate from the slothful at work. We ought to separate from the slothful at school. We ought to separate from slothful friends or friendships. Then I would separate from the spiritually slothful. Be careful, there are people that are always spectators, never participators. I'll tell you this: when I was a young preacher, there'd be preacher meetings. And a handful of preachers would get together and they'd let somebody preach, and the preachers would preach to each other. I have to tell you, I went to a couple of them, and then I would get around them and they would all sit at lunch, and this is all I'd hear. Everybody would justify why their churches were not growing. Everybody would justify why it can't be done in this day and age. And everybody would justify why they couldn't have but 5 or 6 people in church. I'll tell you what, I got my belly full of it. And I said, I am not going to that anymore because it's not encouraging. And I don't plan to go there and become like them. Everybody's got excuses. Why you can't do it? Yeah, it's this day and age. It's this wicked world. And I'm too holy. Boy, did I hear that sort of thing. I'm just too hard of a preacher, and people just can't take it. Yeah, you probably run them off because you don't want to have to attend to the responsibility of having a congregation of any size. Well, I've heard it. I have heard it. And I wasn't unkind. I didn't criticize. I just decided I'll retract myself. I'm not a great big fellowshipper with preachers. You say, why? I got too much to do. I have things that need to be done, things that need to be accomplished. And let me tell you, you need to be careful. You can get around some excuse-making spiritual people, stay home from church and watch TV, pew-setters, casual observers, not involved, and always have a good excuse as to why. But be careful. Hey, and you shouldn't be spiritually slothful. Read your Bible. It'll take some work. Pray. It'll take some work. Put some energy into things that are spiritual, because you can be spiritually slothful or lazy. Then, let me say, you may need to... I want to throw this out here because I think it's important that you hear it. Socialism promotes slothfulness. Socialism promotes slothfulness. It's not biblical. It's dangerous. So when you hear the term socialism, it is the precursor to communism, which is even worse than socialism. And I'm disappointed and disgusted that it's even being possibly even considered in the United States of America. It's a lazy. It's virtually a religion. It's a laziness. And so I just want to throw it out there. I think America ought to separate from socialism. Not only that. Next. You want to be, and I looked up some numbers here. You might want to be careful to separate from your waste of time on all the time that people put into media. Americans spend, and this is a statistic that I picked out today, 11 hours per day using their tablets and smartphones. We're talking about videos and browsing and listening. Can you imagine? How can someone spend 11 hours a day swiping? Swiping your life away. On the phone or on their tablet. All day long. 11 hours? Do you have my cell phone? I get a little report on how much time I spend on it. I want some of my money back. They're overcharging me. And I'll tell you something. America used to work a whole lot harder. We're very interested in being entertained. No, I'm not against a cell phone. I'm not against your tablet or your iPad or your computer. But I will tell you this. A lot of people that would like to say that they use it for nothing but work, that is probably not true. They play with that thing continuously. And so, 11 hours per day, media associated. Now, for some, if that 11 hours has nothing to do with work, you know, even if it were half of it, that'd be equivalent to a part-time job. You say, I have financial problems. Well, put your cell phone away and get a job and just go work somewhere part-time. Figure out the financial dilemma. But separation from the wasted time with media. Now, I'm finished, but I'll say, you may have to separate from your own slothful behavior. Stop lying to yourself and believing it. Stop making up excuses. Stop pampering yourself. Stop being satisfied with your complacency. Stop putting off hard work. Stop blaming everyone else. Stop running from the truth. In this generation, there are an awful lot of people that baby themselves. They baby themselves. And the government will help you do it. They will help you do it. I believe that character, and when you develop character, this is what happens in your life. You begin to parent yourself. In other words, see, when I was growing up, my parents required me to get up in the morning, and my parents required me to clean my room, and my parents required me to fulfill certain responsibilities. But when I became a man, my parents no longer told me to do that, but I began to tell myself to do that. And there's some, you need to begin to parent yourself. You need to require of yourself that you're not slothful, that you're not a time waster. And all of that, and so you all understand, I don't get a thing out of that. It's not like it benefits me, but it'll help you. And if for no other reason, God said, don't be slothful. And don't associate with the slothful. And he didn't say be unkind to him. He didn't say hurt them. He just said you got to be careful being around them because you'll become like them. So, it says, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. So, when we talk about separation, there are a lot of issues. Most of the time, when someone preaches on separation, it's all about what we'd call worldliness, the entertainments of Hollywood and things like that. But I think laziness has got a pretty good stronghold in our country today. I'm not against helping people that need help, but I am against people not helping themselves when they can. And there are people who don't help themselves much at all. And they have the energy, they have the health to do it. And let's be careful. I think it's wrong, and I think it's sinful.